Learning Nefesh HaChaim, the Prokim of Shah Gimel, and we're doing Perik Dalad. And we're coming out to a new point here, and he says like this, Kama Zirus Yaseir Tzorich Odom Bizaya Bin Yonim Ke'elo Ki'yitzibim. How much care a person has to, how much carefulness a person needs for matters like these and similar matters. Amu Chazal, our sages have said, "Kol haGodol miChaver Yitzra Godol Himenu." Now, these very, very subtle issues here that we have to be handled properly. So our sages have said that anyone who's greater than his friend has a greater Yitzhara. Now, we're talking about very great things here. We're talking about great intentions, great kavanas, great thought, great ideas. So, therefore, we are talking about people on a high level. But on the contrary, you might think people on a higher level are safer. It's not true. People on a high level, are even more in danger, because the greater the person, the greater is the opposition he faces. In other words, the temptations to do the wrong thing grow with him. And exactly the nature of the temptations is not always clear, but the temptation remains. Hashem keeps the world in balance always. There's always a balance of free choice. So in other words, the ability to choose between good and evil is always in balance according to where a person's holding, and therefore a great person also has that challenge. As long as we're in this world, we have the challenge of choosing the right over the wrong. The Yetzhora strives with his devices for all people. According for that person, each person according to his level and according to his knowledge and his service. So, right? The Yetzhora always, he works with each person exactly where he's holding. If he sees that according to the great height of a person, he sees a person at a very, very high level, so he knows that if he tries to persuade him, if he persuades him that he should leave the place he's at, the position he's at, the spiritual position he's at, and he should leave his level to actively do some sort of sin or some sort of error in terms of Yiddishkeit, chamukal, whether it's a severe sin or it's a light sin, right? He sees that if he can get this person to move from his level, shelo yoyve, and he says that this person is not willing to budge from his level. Normally, if a person's acquired a level, he doesn't want to go down from his level. He doesn't want to leave his level. You know, he's climbed all the way to get to that level. The person's at a level that he's worked hard to get at. He doesn't want to leave that level. This is his level. So then, even so, the Yetzer doesn't give up. Even though a person's achieved a high level and he worked very hard to get to that level, the Yetzer doesn't give up on him and he continues to work on him. So how does he do it? He comes to the person in disguise. He comes to him in the guise of he's the good inclination. He comes to him, he pretends he's the good inclination. And he comes to try and get him to sin with what looks like a mitzvah. He wants to blind his intellect. Lahatil eris, and to inject this person with a poison. And to try and mislead him in the very way. Now it's just like this person climbed the ladder to get to this position, so he should continue to climb. But in the meantime, he's swiveled the ladder around. He wants him to climb in the wrong direction. He wants him to climb into the area of error, the area of sin. He wants to mislead him using the strength of this person. Using the very strength that this person has to try and pervert those same strengths and use it to make him sin. Shemar lo bo eis derech hanir l'adam bashkof rishon yishu atzis yitzra tov. He shows him an option which appears to the person at first look. When the person first sees this option, it looks like mamish a very good idea, a wonderful idea that's going to bring him to a high level. And it looks like it's going to take him even higher. He sees a certain option, certain path, and he thinks this path is going to take him to a higher place. Because the Eitor tries to show him an aspect of the sin that looks like it's a mitzvah, and looks like it's something pure, something good. In the meantime, the person falls into his net. He spread a net, and he's going to catch him in his net. Just like a bird sees a little bit of seed on the ground, and he doesn't see that there's a big box hanging up over that seed, and he thinks he'll just eat a little bit of seed, and in the meantime, by going off that seed, he thinks it's a good thing, he's having the seed, he's walking into a trap, and the next thing, the trap falls down on him. So the same thing, the Yetzer tries to tempt a person with what looks like a mitzvah. Once he gets him a little bit closer, he can trap him. And he doesn't know that he's risking his life. That if he's walking into this situation, he's walking into a trap. He's walking into a trap that's going to take him straight into Gehenna. Now, what's he talking about? What's he warning us about? Because it must be based on something that we've learned up to now. And for this reason, he's speaking to us. So he speaks to our second person. You have to be very careful of yourself. Do not let your Yetzer Hara persuade you, saying, the Yetzer is going to come to us after we've learned Meshuv Nefesh HaChaim, up to this point at least, and he's going to tell us that the main thing is that you should be concerned that you should, all of your days, you should involve yourself, you should invest your strength, your time, to purify your thoughts as is fitting. Now, to purify your thoughts is a wonderful thing, but this, now the Yetzer is going to try and use this to get us to sin, and he's going to explain exactly how. So he's going to come to us and he says, no, you've got to work to purify your thoughts, and that's number one. That's the one, number one priority in your life. Shedei dveikus machshavtecha bevorecha besmidus, that the clinging of your thoughts should be clinging to Hashem continuously. You should be continuously attached to Hashem, maltimoit, without letting go. V'loi tashuv mipnei kol, and don't let go for any reason, laniach tue machshavtecha, not to hang on to the purity of your thought, b'shum eis klav. At no time must you let go of these thoughts of purity. I call the Shem Shemaim, and of course you're going to all do this all for the sake of heaven. You're going to do this at the highest level possible. But Am Lechashe call Ika Teiru Mitzvahs Hema, but he's going to tell you, the Yetzer is going to tell you that the main point of Torah, the main point of the study of Torah, the essence of studying Torah, and the essence of fulfilling Mitzvahs Hema, Dafke Keshem Bekavon Atzuma, is specifically when you do it with tremendous intention, with Veikus Amiti, and with true clinging to Hashem. The real essence of the mitzvah is when you perform it with tremendous closeness to Hashem, tremendous attachment to Hashem. Because much ein lev adam mole la'asoisim kavona kedusha. And then he's going to tell you, and as long as a person is not going to fulfill the mitzvahs with a holy intent, ubedveikus v'taris hamachshava, and with the cleaving to Hashem and with purity of thought, this is what he tells the person: if you're going to do mitzvahs and you don't have this purity of thought, you don't have this cleaving to Kodesh Baruch, this attachment to Hashem, so then the mitzvah loses all of its value, the service loses all of its value. This is what the Yetzer is going to tell him, that if you don't have the highest and highest of thoughts, you're going to, the whole thing becomes a waste. As he already knows how to work with us, now the Yetzer already knows how to work with us. We know that he's called, and the sages call him an old and foolish king. He's old because he's got millions, thousands of years of experience. He's been working with people thousands of years, and he's succeeded with most of them. Most of the people have followed his tricks. But still he's a fool. Why is he called a fool? Because there's still a way to escape him. There's always a fault in his reasoning. He can never fool you completely. There's always a way to see that he's trying to fool you. He's called a fool. So therefore, he's already very experienced in trying to trap us. In the summary, Senaim, to blind people's eyes. And he can bring us proofs. He tells us something wrong, tells us a mistake, and he brings us proofs. He brings proofs from the Chumash, and from the Mishnah, and from the Gemara, and from Midrashim, and from the Zohar itself, from the Kabbalah. He brings proofs. For instance, is an idea. That's a proof for what we've just been saying. It says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rachman Liba Boy, Hashem wants the heart. Hashem wants the heart. What's the heart? The heart is a person's desire. Hashem wants our desires. If our desire is for Hashem, then that's the main thing. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants the heart. So that, he says, isn't that a proof that you have to be thinking about Hashem and attaching yourself to Hashem and doing only for the sake of Hashem always? That's the Gemara. It's an explicit Gemara. The Gemara says, Hashem wants the heart. Okay, Hayden Rabbos, and all sorts of other proofs, all sorts of other sources, Imoy Chavilus Reis. So the thing is as follows. It's true that that is a quote from the sages, that Hashem wants the heart, but you've got to see it in the right context. You've got to see it with you've got to get the right balance. That's true, Hashem wants the heart. But now he's going to try and use that idea to make a person sin. And let's see. Omnam. However, if you will merit to discern the truth with the eyes of your intellect, not with your inner eye. You'll see with your inner eye, according to the Torah, Tavin v'tim, so then you'll understand and you'll find. Shezeh kol inyon. This is exactly what the Yetzer Hara wants. Now, Rois Ladom tlof of v'simone tahara, to show that he wants to show a person his hooves, which have a signs of purity. In other words, this is an analogy to the pig. Right? We know the pig is a treif animal, he's not a kosher animal, but he's got a kosher sign. His hooves are split, so therefore he's got the same type of hooves as a cow, as a goat, as a sheep. Those are all kosher animals. And the pig, on the contrary, when he sits down, he spreads his hooves out, that everyone can see his hooves. Look, I'm kosher. But really, he's just showing us a certain aspect that's kosher. He's not really kosher. Pig is absolutely treif, 100%. He's 100% forbidden to eat. So the same thing, the Yetzer tries to deceive us, to make mistakes, and he shows us a certain aspect which is correct. And Hashem wants the heart, that's a true aspect, that's a gemara. He wants to show us a certain side of himself, a certain side of his plan, which looks good, looks kosher, and then he's going to try and lead us along. Right? He wants to show Shadaka B'Kodesh, that his way is a way of holiness. Raglav Yoides Mavis Rechmanesan. Meanwhile, he's leading us to our death. He's leading us to a pit, that we should fall into a pit, just like he's leading a person leads his enemy to the edge of a cliff. He says, come, a little bit more. And meanwhile, he's leading to the edge of the cliff, and the next thing, the person takes a step, and whoops, and he's falling down thousands of feet. Now, look at his ways. I'm going to show you what he's doing and what he wants to do to you. And listen to what I'm going to say, says Nefesh HaChaim, and become wise. He's clever to harm us in a way that looks like he's helping us. Today he's going to tell you that if you learn Torah and you do mitzvahs without clinging to Hashem, it's nothing. Torah and mitzvahs without attaching yourself to Hashem, that's nothing. That's what he'll tell us today. But he's going to say you have to prepare your heart. You have to prepare your intentions. To elevate your thoughts, you've got to have your thoughts flying up to the heavens. Before you do a mitzvah, get your thoughts ready. Get your thoughts be ready. You're going to take on a mitzvah. So first prepare your thoughts so that your thoughts fly up to a very high level. Before you can do a mitzvah, before you can daven, you should first get your thoughts ready. The machshava tahira shevateres, to get your thoughts to the purity of purity. The kol kach tehe machshav techa truda, and now you're going to be so preoccupied to try and think the right thoughts. And if you look in the Kabbalistic sphere, they have all sorts of intentions. You know, when you do this mitzvah, you have to be thinking about that world, and you do this mitzvah, then you have to be thinking about that world, and you have to be thinking about that force and that angel and that, right? Different types of intentions. It's very, very complicated. Right? It's for big geniuses, right? People who are mamish like the Arizal himself, who can hold like very lofty thoughts in their minds. But it's not for simple people like us. So anyway, the Yetzer is going to try and get this person involved with all sorts of intentions to cling to Hashem, to cleave to Hashem, to try and prepare his mind for this mitzvah. And so occupied will the person be in preparing for the mitzvah and trying to get the right thoughts before he can do it, until the time of that mitzvah goes by. The time the mitzvah goes by, when you didn't do the mitzvah. Certain mitzvahs you have to do up to a certain time. And if that time passes, you've lost the mitzvah. But this person is so involved with getting his thoughts right, he's going to miss the time of the mitzvah. So therefore, he grabs the one aspect that he loses the mitzvah itself. Hachiyavu zmana mitzvah atfila, the time of the prayer. V'elech haponim, and then he's going to come and say to you, shekol tfilo mitzvah shasisa b'kavona. Then he's going to say to you that any davening or any mitzvah that you did with the right intention, with a powerful intention, b'kedusha of a time with holiness and purity, afshelo b'zmana. And then he's going to come and tell you that, you know, even though you did this mitzvah, you did it in the wrong time. Okay, you did it after the time. The time was already over. It's much more precious than fulfilling the mitzvah in its time than without having the right intention. He's going to tell you that don't worry that you missed the time, because at least when you did it with the right intention. Even though you did it in the wrong time, doing it with the right intention in the wrong time is much more precious than doing it in the right time without having the right intention. That's what he's going to tell you. So, and that's not true. That's not true. If a mitzvah has to be done in a certain time, for instance, the reciting Krishna in the morning has to be up to a certain time. Reciting the Shemoneh Esrei in the morning has to be up to a certain time. You missed the time, so you lost the mitzvah. You can't make it up. So therefore, but he's going to tell you, no, don't worry about it. Doing it even after the time, but with the right intention, ooh, that's much more powerful than in the right time without having that intention. So that's step one of his device. First, it's actually step one and step two. His first step is you have to have tremendous intention. And then he makes you all preoccupied, and then you miss the time. And he says, no, don't worry, you missed the time, because after its time, with the right intention, it's much more worthwhile than in its time without the right intention. That's step two. So now he's got the person to miss the time of the mitzvah and not to fulfill the mitzvah, in truth, because the time already passed. And once the Yetzirah gets he gets it into your habit, he sort of internalizes into you in your heart that you're not so concerned about the time. Once he says, no, the time is not so important, so therefore the time is not so important. Don't worry about the time. He says to you, don't worry about the time. Shall aid the mitzvah, tefillah, the time for some mitzvah or the time for some davening. Machnas kvius machshav tzecha letayr lefonis alev tefillah. And it's, you know, because you can't, I mean, you know, you're busy, you're occupied, your thoughts are occupied to purify your thoughts and to turn your heart to the right intentions first. B'hemshach hazman, okay, that's how he starts. So he starts off by getting you to miss the time. The miss the time of davening, miss the time of a mitzvah. We have mitzvahs at also a certain time. Mitzvah of Yontif. Yontif has to be on Yontif. You can't keep Yontif on the day after Yontif. Right? So therefore, also mitzvahs have to be in the right time. So therefore, once he gets you into that habit that the time is not so important, that you allow yourself to daven at a very later time, and you become desensitized to that fact, you stop looking at your watch. You've forgotten about it. He gets you into the habit of davening after the time and not worrying about the time. And after a while, you'll think it's permitted to daven after the time. It's permitted to miss out the details of the mitzvah. It's totally permitted. La'avir moyed atfila. There's no problem in missing the time for davening or the time for a mitzvah. Haf gam shat tifani libcha levatola bedvorim betelin. Even though you're really thinking about nonsense, right? In the time you're busy preparing your thoughts, but in the meantime you have a little daydream about some nonsense, and you're thinking about all sorts of other things, which are totally empty thoughts. But you know, he's busy thinking, so while he's thinking, so he also thinks about other things. So therefore, and the time doesn't matter. So therefore, in truth, he's getting the person actually spending, he's wasting his thoughts also on nonsense. He'll get you to lose everything. And ultimately, there won't be remaining to this person neither the act of the mitzvah in its time, and no good thoughts either. And as once he gets into the habit of disregarding the mitzvah, the details of the mitzvah, so then, and because you're working on your thoughts, then he'll finally get you to abandon the good thoughts as well. So he tricks you by getting you to think certain thoughts, but then once he's got you on that path, then he even takes that away from you. He finally takes everything away from you, because he's out to destroy us. So any way he can destroy us, he'll destroy us. And this is one of the devices. Now this approach of the Yetzer Hara can destroy the entire Torah Chas V'Shalom. Im Chas V'Shalom Noive Loi La'atois Oizen L'Chalek Sfosov B'Dakozeh. If Chas V'Shalom we will desire to incline our ear to the sweetness of His talk, to His smooth lips in this with this approach, He's going to come tell us about pure thoughts and pure intentions, and don't worry about the time. So if we're going to start listening to them. So just think a little bit of what the consequences can be. For instance, he comes to the person on the first night of Pesach. What's the big mitzvah of the night of Pesach? It's to eat a kazayis, an olive size of matzah. So he comes and he starts thinking you have to have the right intentions. You're eating matzah. You know, sort of holy mitzvah the matzah is. You have to have the right intentions. So he's going to come to the person and he's going to say, you have to have the right intentions for the matzah. When you eat it, it has to be with holiness, it has to be with purity, it has to be mamish clinging to Hashem. He says, no, you're not ready yet. So the person is waiting to the mitzvah of matzah. In the meantime, he lets the whole night go by. Until he draws out the time, until after the sun rises, after the dawn. After the sunrise, I called to us. So all those wonderful thoughts that he was trying to reach, it's all a sin. V'lo yirotze, Hashem won't accept it because he's missed the time of eating the matzah. He's so busy with his thoughts. Now the mitzvah of eating matzah is on the night of Pesach. And if he's so busy with his thoughts the whole night, the next thing it's the morning, the next thing it's the dawn, and then there's the sunrise, and he's missed the mitzvah. So what's he achieved? Now, someone who would have eaten that kazayis or matzah in its right time, you say, even though he didn't have extra holiness or extra purity, he ate it. You know, just a regular person, he would eat it in a regular way without special intentions. Such a person who did eat the matzah has kept, has fulfilled the mitzvah, what's written in the Torah. He's done what the Torah says. The Torah says eat matzah, and he ate matzah. Maybe he didn't have the right thing, all the most beautiful intentions, but he ate it. He ate it in its time. He did the mitzvah. But tavoy la brocha, and he will be blessed. He will receive heavenly blessings and heavenly rewards. Okay, in Rabbos, and so it is with most mitzvahs, with almost all mitzvahs. Asher imloy nechav nibein lachush la'asuyis kol ha-mitzvah v'mo'adam ezmanam. That with all the mitzvahs, if a person doesn't have intention to be worried to do the mitzvah in its time, in its season, in its time, if he doesn't have that concern, so then we're going to have a ridiculous situation, because then what you say, no, I still did the mitzvah, but the mitzvah not in its time, then what's the mitzvah? How would this be different to someone who's going to start blowing shofar with tremendous intention? Imagine a person doing the mitzvah of shofar with tremendous, tremendous intention. Bilel Rishon Shel Pesach. Right? He's going to blow shofar in the mitzvah of shofar, but you're doing it on the night of Pesach, you're blowing shofar. There's no mitzvah to blow shofar on the night of Pesach. No, but he was getting ready. He was getting ready. Rosh Hashanah wasn't ready yet. So now he's going to blow shofar on Pesach. Yeah? That's a mitzvah. Sure, what a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah at all. There's no such mitzvah blowing shofar on Pesach. But mokum mitzvah sachidus kezayis matzah. If kezayis matzah, Rosh Hashanah, instead of eating the matzah that he's supposed to eat on Pesach because he's busy blowing shofar, so when's he going to eat the matzah? He'll eat the matzah on Rosh Hashanah. So he's going to wait to eat his matzah on Rosh Hashanah. And then he's going to be fasting on Erev Yom Kippur. On Erev Yom Kippur we have a mitzvah to eat. But because he's having all his times, right? So he's going to be fasting on Erev Yom Kippur. Instead of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, he's going to be fasting on Erev Yom Kippur. And what about Yom Kippur itself? No, it's lulav. He's already shaking his lulav on Yom Kippur. He's got it all the times wrong. So on Yom Kippur, he's going to be shaking lulav. But Mokum mitzvah, you know, instead of afflicting himself with the fast, which is the mitzvah of Yom Kippur. So where's the Torah? What happened to the Torah? There's no Torah left. He's ruined the whole Torah. That's what can happen. Obviously, he's exaggerating here. But this is the point, right? A person, right, you get hooked on a certain detail, and you lose the main thing, because you're worried about, right? You're worried about, it's like a person who was looking for a certain button for his jacket. He needs a certain type of button, and he's so involved with the button that he loses the whole jacket. In the end, all he's stuck is with a button. Right? He wanted a special gold button with a special pattern. And he's just hunting for that button. In the meantime, the whole jacket, he leaves the jacket behind. He forgets the jacket in the bus. And the bus rides off with his jacket. And he's running around like a meshugana looking for this button. And even in this situation, even though, let's say a person is not so foolish, and even though the Yetzer does not succeed in fooling him to miss the time, let's say he gets a person not to miss the time, even so, Yatzer Livcho Lefanus Letairo, nevertheless, he's going to incline his heart to try and look for this purity. That's true. Okay, well, the person will keep the time. But doing a mitzvah also has details in it. There's certain details that come with the mitzvah. And this person is so preoccupied in getting the right thought, that when it comes to the actual performance of the mitzvah, he's not worried about the other details. He doesn't do the mitzvah properly. But he's so busy, he's so preoccupied with thinking the right thought that he's not actually, the performance of the mitzvah is not with the right intention. Kedin b'chol prater. Ulizayim ilavu al dini mefuroshim metalme. There are all sorts of details in mitzvahs. The mitzvahs have details. The mitzvahs have requirements. And meanwhile, he's so busy with his thoughts, he's not worried about those details. And he transgresses things that the sages have told us in the Gemara and in the Halacha, and we're saying Agudelim. And don't fool yourself to think that because you're so busy with your purity, don't think that because you're so involved with your purity, this is not going to lead you to nullify the details of the Maisa. Kiteda, you should know. Kishekol zman shelibcha yehe mashuch ledaito leimor. Because as long as and thoughts are drawn to know Hashem and to say shekol ikatoyis adam hu shekol mitzvah or limud she'en nikiya mikol sigu psoles kasoles nikiya. Because as long as a person is thinking that any mitzvah that he does or any learning that he does without having the purest of intentions is something that's forbidden, right? But that's a wrong thought. It's a wrong thought. Right? It gets a person to think that if you don't have the purest intentions, like you did nothing at all. So that's a wrong. That's not true. That's partially not true. The main thing is the action and not the intention. But this is what our Yetzer can fool a person, that he doesn't do the actual action. He doesn't do with a proper. Actual action he doesn't do with the proper attention to detail, and the action itself comes faulty. He didn't do the action properly. He didn't wash his hands properly. He didn't hold the lulav properly. He didn't eat the matzah, the right amount of matzah in the right amount of time. Whatever it was, he didn't do the details of the mitzvah. Hayruhu mishachadcho bazeh ma'aveinecha. So therefore, because he's getting you to do a certain idea of pure thoughts, he's bribing you in order to make you lose the mitzvah itself. And he's blinding your eyes. You won't pay attention to the details of the mitzvah. The mitzvahs have details which we have to perform. The halachas, the laws of the mitzvah, the dinim, all the different details. That a person will go and transgress the details without feeling it at all, without being sensitive to it at all. So this is the big issue. This is the problem we have here. And let's go on to chapter 5. Perek Hay. Yinegolui mevuah. Now, it's a very clear thing, and it's clearly mentioned as well. This is something that's obvious and clearly stated. This approach that we've just been speaking about, what the Yetzer Hara tries to get a person to focus on only on his intentions and nothing else, you should know that this approach is a fire. Eishi. It's something very, very dangerous. This fire can destroy a person completely, just like a fire can burn a whole house and its contents. So this approach can destroy the person completely. And with this approach, you can destroy a number of the fundamentals of the Torah, a number of the foundations of the Torah, of the Holy Torah. Right? Hashem should help us. Right? And you can also be spoiling the words of our sages, the words of the Torah, the words of our sages. We mentioned before, at the end of Shara Aleph, that the main part of every mitzvah is always the action. And an action often involves, a mitzvah often involves an action. It also involves maybe speech and maybe also thoughts. So it could be you sometimes have a mitzvah that needs speech and action and thought, all three aspects of a person. But always, always the most important of the three is the action. The action is the most important because it's the action that has the greatest effect on us. Because we are physical people. And therefore, we are affected by physical things. Physical action is the most powerful way for a person to elevate himself. And therefore, and that is the truth. The truth with mitzvahs is the physical performance of the mitzvahs. And the purity of thoughts is just like a little plus. It's like a bonus. Right? It's like an extra. It beautifies the mitzvah, but it's not the main part. Right? Like a person wants to buy a car. And he wants to have mag wheels on his car. Mag wheels, right? So he's so involved with the mag wheels. The mag wheels, in the meantime, he ends up with the mag wheels without a car. So now he's got four wheels, but he doesn't have a car. He misses the body of the thing. He hasn't got the body of the thing. So what are you going to do with a couple of wheels? You know, he's missed the whole thing. He's got nothing. The wheels don't have a special value. So the same thing. The main part of mitzvah is the maisa. The thought is like an extra. The thought is elevated. The thought can beautify, but it's not the main part. Well, a mitzvah loli kuvah, the thought is considered a mitzvah, it's considered a plus, but it's not something that prevents you from fulfilling your obligation. If let's say you did the mitzvah without the intention, you've still got the mitzvah. But if you have the intention without the mitzvah, then you've got nothing. Ein sham. So if you look back in Shara Aleph, that was what he discussed there. So therefore, this is something that's very clear to someone who works intelligently, who goes intelligently in life. We have a principle of the Indian Hakrovas HaKorbonis. When it comes to sacrificing sacrifices, and speaks about bringing the base of the sacrifice to the base of Migdash, the Stomen Kalishmon Domin. That if, let's say, now where there's certain intentions a Kohen should have, and there's certain intentions that can spoil the sacrifice. But let's say the Kohen doesn't have any thoughts, he just does it mechanically. And he doesn't do it with any specific thoughts. So therefore, let's say his mind was totally blank. He did the actions correctly, but his mind was totally blank. So the halacha says that if he does it with no thought at all, it's all kosher. It's like he did it with the right intention. But to have the wrong intention can spoil the whole thing. To have the right intention is the best way. But to have it with no intention, so the Gemara says to have it with no intention, a blank mind, he just did everything, but with a blank mind, it's like doing it with the right intention. Because he did the action and he didn't have a spoiling thought. He didn't have a thought that spoilt it. So the Gemara says explicitly, right, so now we know when it comes to eating the Pesach lamb, right, please God, when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, we'll be eating on the night of Pesach, not just matzah, we'll be eating the Pesach lamb. So now, one of the things about the Pesach lamb is that you have to eat it with an appetite. And if that's the case, the Pesach lamb is normally eaten at the end of the meal, and you have to have room in your stomach. If a person had a very, very big supper, so there's no room in his stomach. So then it's called achila gas, it's called vulgar eating. And a person's stomach is bursting, and he forces him to eat something more. That's not the right way to eat. That's not... So therefore, that's what the Gemara mentions there, that if a person eats what's called achila gasa, a vulgar type of eating, he doesn't even have an appetite to eat, he's not enjoying the eating, he's just forcing food down his, just stuffing himself, just forcing food down his throat. So the Gemara says that if a person does eat the Pesach like that, achila gasa, nehid lokai avid mitzvah min amuvcha, granted he didn't fulfill the mitzvah in the best possible way, because the best possible way to fulfill the mitzvah is with an appetite, when your mom is enjoying it, that's the way to fulfill the mitzvah. So granted he didn't do it in the best way, Pesach miyum kavim, but he did fulfill the mitzvah. Even though he didn't do it correctly, he didn't eat it with the right conditions, but in this particular case, he ate the Pesach lamb, he ate the meat, he's fulfilled the mitzvah. Because ultimately he put it in his mouth, he chewed it, he swallowed it, and that's called eating. Ah, he didn't enjoy it because his stomach was full. That's not right. Okay, but it doesn't take away the mitzvah. In Yachshav Adam, the Eis Chiyuv HaKrovus Pesach, Eis Chiyuv Achilosei. Now, if this person, however, when he's performing the mitzvah of sacrificing the Pesach, and it's the time that he's eating the Pesach, he thinks of these very awesome thoughts. Kavonis Neirois Shalinin HaPesach. He's thinking about very, very lofty thoughts about what the Pesach represents and what is the power of the Pesach. He's thinking about very lofty thoughts about the Pesach, Machshava Gavoya Shebegvoyas, the highest of thoughts, Vetoyah Shebetoyah is the purest of thoughts. V'chadl, he's so involved with the thoughts, V'chadl Mi'asas HaPesach, but ultimately he's so busy with the thoughts that he didn't actually eat it. He didn't eat it, he didn't eat enough. So he was busy thinking of the thoughts, but he was so preoccupied with the thoughts that he finally didn't eat it in the end. Nichasa Nefesh HaHesa, we know the punishment for not eating the Korban Pesach is Chores. It's heavenly death. So this person, let's say he was involved with thoughts, but ultimately he didn't do the mitzvah. So if he didn't actually have the action, he didn't do the action, he has the full punishment of not fulfilling Pesach, which is Chores. V'chein v'chol ha-mitzvah, so too with all mitzvahs. If one is missing the action of the mitzvah, so then he's missed the mitzvah, and then he can get the full punishment. But if he's missing the thought of the mitzvah, so then he still gets credit for having done the mitzvah.